Well, praise God. I'm just going to pray one more time here. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, now for this day. We thank you, Lord, for giving me the words to speak by faith, knowing I can do nothing at all without you, O God in heaven, knowing that we all trust in you, Lord, to help us, to lead us and to guide us into all truth, wisdom, and understanding. And thank you, Lord, for this day. We give it into thine hands now. By faith, in Jesus' name we walk. Amen. You know, worship is a form of prayer. Amen. Worshiping the Lord is still a form of prayer. And when we pray, it is a form of worship. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 18 says, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land, which the Lord sware unto thy fathers." How many know that when we get into the depths of prayer, that we can possess the good of the land? How many know that when we get into the place of that prayer closet before God Almighty, that secret place, that hiding place, that we steal away from the world, that we steal away from our lives that are so full of chaos and the cares of this world, that we can actually get lost and find that treasure. We can get lost and find Jesus. We can meet him face to face. We can come together and we can know the will of God, because he will show us, he will help us, he will lead us in the depth of prayer. Amen. It is through prayer where we find answers to our lives. It is in prayer where we begin to see, know, and understand the will of God for our lives, that we can understand what it is we ought to do, when and how, which way to turn, straight, this way or that way. The Lord will show us, right? Amen. We are to pray without ceasing, according to chapters, 1 Thessalonians, if I can say that word right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17 says, pray without ceasing. Amen. Praise God. If we go to James chapter 1, 6 and 7. Let's go to James 1, 6 and 7, because there we want to cement what we're talking about here. Go to James. Bear with me as I go there myself. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. I can't even find James. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Right here. I think I got it right here. Okay, James. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, it says here, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord." Is that right? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Isn't that the truth? Have you ever talked to people that have been unstable, that have been wishy-washy, that didn't really believe what they were saying, and how nauseous it was to talk to such a person? How intolerable it is to speak to someone who just can't seem to make up their mind what they know or what they understand or what they believe. And you just want to tell that person, please seek out the truth. Seek it out for yourself. But really mean it. Mean what you say and say what you mean in your life. Don't doubt anymore. No, be convicted with what you feel and think and see and know. Isn't that right? Praise God. That's what the Lord wants of us. If we go to Psalm 91:1, go to Psalm 91:1. I know that Psalm 91:1, I know when Brother Lance was here, he had had a sermon on that, and it was a wonderful sermon when he was here. And we are expecting Brother Lance to, at some point, make it here again. Greetings, Deanna. And we know that it is in Psalm 91 that we can find many answers. And Psalm 91 is a wonderful prayer for times of trouble. But there is just something there in the first verse, I believe, 91, as I turn there. 91:1. It says here, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence." Amen. Now, how many of you and how many of us, and I have to ask myself, how often have I myself gotten in to the depth of prayer and to that hiding place where Jesus was our refuge, where the Lord was our refuge, where He took us in and we met Him there in that great depth, where He began to speak to us in a still small voice, where He began to show us what to do. We began to feel convicted, knowing that if we could just reach the hem of His garment, if we could just reach out and listen and hear the words of God in heaven, that He would speak to us, inspire us, lead us, and guide us. And it's that place that is available to each and every one of us today. Not just tomorrow, not next week, but today. We can make up our minds, we can make up our hearts that today will be the day. For the day, today is a day of salvation, amen? Not tomorrow, not next week, but today. Today the Lord wants us to speak to Him, to pray to Him, that we would hear from Him, amen? If we go to Psalm 5, go to Psalm 5 real quick. Psalm 5, we are to look up. We are to believe and trust. Take the Lord at His word. Amen. Psalm 5, verses 1. Here we go. "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, and my Lord and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." What does he mean? What does the psalmist David mean when he says, "I will look up"? Because when he looks up, he's expecting that answer. When he prays, he's looking to the Lord to answer that prayer. Jesus, He's going to answer every one of our prayers in faith when we look up to Him. When we reach out and we look up to the Lord Jesus, expecting that answer to come, even then, even now, the Lord will honor that. Sometimes it's not always that moment. Sometimes it's not always in the way that we think. But the Lord will always answer your prayer. Always. Amen. And if you go to Isaiah chapter 30, Isaiah chapter 30, that's further on up this way. Isaiah 30. Praise God. Isaiah 30, 21. And it says there, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Amen. This is what the Lord will do for you and for me when we get into the depths of prayer, to that place, that hiding place, the Lord will begin to teach us. He will give us skill to understand His word. He will give us skill on how to reach out to Him. He will give us understanding and wisdom on how to approach the Lord. There are hindrances and there are many things that the Lord will not answer to us, but there is also a way where if we will stand and regard the Lord and be upright and meet the conditions that He has set forth in His word, that He's promised that He will answer those prayers. Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning His words or promises. His ears are not heavy that He will not hear, nor His arms short that He cannot save. Amen. The Lord is there for you and for me. Praise God. I remember the story of Daniel in chapter 9, where when Daniel was in the depths of prayer, and from the very first moment he began to pray, an angel, Gabriel, was sent unto him to minister to him. At the very moment he reached out to God in faith, not wavering, but believing by faith, knowing that there is a one true God who will always answer your prayers, who will not ignore those of His own righteous. Because the Lord looks upon you and me as His own sons and daughters. Amen. That's the heritage we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God Almighty. We know that there are many conditions, and we know that Christians, non-Christians, all those who would reach out to the Lord wonder sometimes why that their prayers aren't being answered. And they wonder, you know, where are they? Where are you, Lord? What's going on? What's happening? I feel like I'm walking this in this world all alone. But you know, the Lord is a God who never changes. And He does expect us to meet Him. There are conditions that we must meet. And if we don't walk according to the Word of God, if we walk in disobedience according to the Word of God, then we cannot expect to have a right to hear those prayers answered. Amen? But if we walk in accordance to the Word of God, if we walk in such a manner where we meet those conditions by faith, it's about changing the heart. It's about having an understanding and perspective on what it is and what it means to reach out to God. It's about coming face to face with reality, with yourself, looking in the mirror. It's about making all the right changes, asking the right questions, asking the Lord to help me, to change me, to lead me, to guide me. And it's about bending the knee on bended knee, that we would seek God with humility. Because truly that's where the answers are. We don't have the answers, I can guarantee you that. Not a one of us here, not a one of us or those that are online has any answers at all. But when we seek God, when we seek the face of God, in the great depths of seeking Him in prayer, where everything else in the world and around us is lost, except our communion with God. It is then when we reach that throne, that place, that resting place, that hiding place, where God then will begin to speak to us. He'll show us if we will just believe, trust, hope in Him, He'll make a way. He will truly make a way. You know, the Lord doesn't regard those that chatter or nonchalantly go to Him and casually say a prayer or two, and you know, it's half-hearted and it doesn't mean anything at all. But the Lord wants us to reach out to Him with a passionate heart, with earnestness seeking Him. That's where the answers are. That's what He requires of us. Amen. If we go to John chapter 14, go to John 14 if you would. John 14. John 14, amen. Verse 12. John 14, 12 says this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father, unto my Father. So here we have the Lord promising us, verily, verily, whenever he says verily, verily, it's an absolute. That means it's settled. It is cemented in. That means it's a promise that he won't take back. It is something that he means what he says and says what he means. When he's telling you and me, when he's talking to us, and he says, verily, verily, we know that he means business, but he wants us to mean business with him too. Amen. If we go to John 14, verse 13 through 16. 13 through 16. And it says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, isn't that a gracious God that we serve? Isn't that the kind of a God that we can all respect and love? The kind of God who is so gracious to us, who is so willing to answer, to give, and to help. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. There are still conditions, amen? We're not robots. It's not sloppy agape. Jesus holds up a standard, and we ought to do the same. It says in verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Amen. Praise God. I think that's a stunning promise. I think that's amazing when you look at that and how that God has given us such a right that we could claim such a promise for our own lives. I think that truly is amazing. He didn't only say it one time, he said it many times, which means that he truly wants us to understand what it means. He truly wants us to see that he really wants to give when we pray. But you see, many people don't believe and many people don't pray. Many people can't find even 10 minutes out of the day to pray. And that's a shame. That's not good. That's an indictment against us. Because we serve a living God who is more willing to give than we are to ask for it. He's more willing to give us those things than we are to even ask for it. Amen? If we go to John chapter 15, go to John 15, please. John 15. You know, this is something that's so important to the Lord that he repeated it over and over, lest we would think that it was some kind of a small thing. But Jesus has emphasized it over and over. John 15, 4 through 9. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Now, what does that mean? If you think about a plant or a tree, where do you get your nutrients from? Where does the life come from? It comes from the vine. It comes from the tree, the trunk, the roots that go deep down. So it is in our life with Jesus Christ. So it is with us being connected to the Lord through prayer, through faith. The prayers of faith of a righteous man availeth much. We need to do that very same thing. Get into that depth of prayer with God so that we can have life eternal. Life now too. Life in such a manner that we make a difference for those around us and in our own lives. We get into the depths of prayer. We know that the Lord will hear us, will be changed, and the world around us will be changed. Praise God. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Amen. Isn't that the truth? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And that's a promise. That's the truth. That's the gospel truth. That's the words of Jesus Christ himself, the one who created the whole world, who spoke in these words, trying to tell you and me so that we would learn and grow and understand and obey, so that we could get in line with him, the God of the universe, that we would get in line and by faith and seek out his face, seek out him for the answers to our lives. Because truly each one of us have many problems to deal with every day. Each one of us, we have monetary problems, health problems, relational problems, problems with the government, problems with this, problems with that, problems everywhere. We need to pray. We need prayer every day. Praise God. And then it goes on to say, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and the men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That is a great promise. That means we get into the depths so great in prayer, where it doesn't matter what time of the day or night we do it. The Lord doesn't sleep. The Lord is always busy watching, looking for those who will seek after him. For those who with a pure heart will cry out to the Lord by faith, not wavering, without disbelief or unbelief in their hearts, but with a believing heart, reaching out to God, asking God to change them, asking God to come and meet them in their time of need. Things happen in our lives, yes. People go through tough times. We know that we lose our loved ones, or this or that happens. We don't always understand the timing of it. We don't always understand the whys and wherefores. But we can trust God because we know that God, we know, whenever we go to him in prayer, will help us to see. He will show us. He will speak to our hearts. Whether we understand it or not, the Holy Spirit always goes past the brain, past the mind, and speaks to the soul, to the heart. Always goes past that and speaks to the depths of our soul so that we have that inner knowing and peace. Amen. Praise God. And it goes on to say, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. To walk in obedience is to love God. To walk in that obedience, to obey the Lord, to go to prayer, to seek God, to not slouch, to not give in, give up, give out, to not be lazy or to not mock the things of God in any way in our lives, or we take for granted, or we mock others. No, God won't hear those people. But God will hear the prayers of a righteous man and woman. Everyone here today, and all those that are online, and all those that will hear this message down the road, if you will obey the word of God, if you will give your life to prayer, if you give your life to the great depths of prayer, seeking God, that means it's not 10 minutes a day. That means you steal away time. You have to fight for your time with God. Steal away that time and find that place. And you will thereby, you will be rewarded. Because we know that Those who diligently seek the Lord will reward them. Amen. If we go to John 15, verse 16. Now consider the magnitude of the importance here again. It says here, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth much fruit," or bring forth fruit, "and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Can you see it now yet? Is it not plain enough to see the importance of it? Is God trying to tell us something? I think he is. I think he's cementing this into our hearts and minds right now. I think he's trying to show us the importance of us getting a hold of him and praying and seeking after him. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants to answer those deep prayers of the soul. He wants to meet with you today. When you leave here today, you can find that place in God. You can find that special hiding place in Jesus Christ. Find that place where when you get into that depth of prayer, he will change your circumstances. He will change your life. He will change your situations around. Because a prayer of faith will do that. That's a promise. John 22, 24. Go to John 22, will you? John 22. I'm sorry. Bear with me. John 16. 16:22 is what I meant. There is no John 22. 16, verse 22. Where is it? Right here. "And ye now, therefore, have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name," that means in Jesus' name, "in my name he will give it you." You see, that is the most wonderful promise to every man, woman, and child. In verse 24, "Here through, have ye asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." You see, people wonder why their prayers aren't answered. Your prayers won't be answered if it's only 5 or 10 minutes in a casual manner. That's not how it works. The Lord wants each and every one of you and I to bend our knees, both knees, or lay down prostrate, whatever it takes, to get into that place, but mean business. Don't slouch with your prayers, because this is going to be eternity. The day when we are judged, I believe truly that we will regret all those moments, all those times when we've neglected the great thing called prayer. If we've neglected prayer in our lives, we've truly missed out. We have truly missed out. Go to Ephesians 3:20. It says there, see, Jesus went to great lengths to help us understand these things, that we might see and know and understand the marvelous promises given to us in truth. Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Amen. What is that power? That is prevailing power through prevailing prayer. Power through the Holy Ghost. Power covering by the blood of Jesus. If you go to John 16, 25 through 28, go there. Jesus, in this chapter, gives a final exhortation before he is seized and bound and scourged. Before his gracious lips were silenced only momentarily on the cross of Calvary. John chapter 16, 25 through 28. Amen. And it says here, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and have believed that I come out from God. I came forth from the Father, and came unto the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father." You see, we are not of this world. We don't belong to the world, but we're in the world. We're not of it. Amen. And Jesus himself told us he's not of the world, he's in it, but he's not of it. And neither are we to be of the world. We're not to clamor and chatter and be hopeful for the things of the world and the rudiments of the world thereof. It's not where our salvation is. It's not where our desires should be. Because the greater amount of time we spend before God in prayer, those kinds of things begin to just slip away. Those desires begin to fall away. The things of the flesh, all those things of the world, begin to grow dim because they hold less power over our desires. They hold less and less glitter. They hold less and less appeal. When we get into the depths of prayer, we know that that's where the answers are. And Jesus comes into more clear view by faith. And when we get into that depth, that's where the Lord wants us to be, because truly that's where we begin to see ourselves differently. We begin to see the world differently. We begin to see God differently. That's how it works. There's a illustration I'm thinking of here. It's about a story of a man who, before he was up and at 'em, as they used to say in the Navy, he said, "Well, Lord, today's been going pretty good, all right so far. I haven't cussed, I haven't sworn, I haven't lost my temper, I haven't done anything unsavory. But Lord, I'm getting out of bed here in about 10 minutes. And I'm going to ask you, Lord, to keep me from this day, from this moment forward, the rest of the day." You see, without that, we need absolute prayer to keep us, to keep our hearts and minds daily fixed on him, so that we can make it daily through this world. Because we know that there are things that all around us are looking and grabbing and pulling for our attention. But if we give in to all those things, the cares of the world, we become slogged down, trudging through all that stuff that's in our life, when we could be using that time and seeking God for the answers that will matter. Amen. Go to Matthew 28, if you would. We know that we should probably ask a few questions. Do we doubt the Father's love? Do we doubt his power? Do we doubt his wisdom for us? But Matthew 28, 18, 20 says this. "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." See, what he's saying is we should never doubt. We should never be afraid to put God to the test. In our prayers, we should expect these things to come to fruition. We should expect answers. And in Malachi 3:10, it says, "Bring ye all your tithes into the storehouse." This is just one example. That there may be meat in mine house, and prove me unto herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out you a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You see, God makes a promise to us. Let us boldly say, as Paul did in Acts 27:25, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." We can believe and take God at his word when he gives us a promise like that. By faith, 10 minutes a day won't cut it when we get into prayer. We're seeking God for that. If you go to Isaiah 64, if you would. 64. We're talking about prevailing prayer. Do we really pray? Do we really stir our hearts, our minds, our souls? Go to Isaiah 64. And it says in Isaiah 64, "But we are all as unclean as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities." And the Lord also has another condition here. If you go to Psalm 66:18, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." This is just another condition, another example. So we're to put off all the sins of the flesh. Amen. Seek God with a pure heart. Seek God with a heart without sin, that we don't dwell in sin, that we don't regard it. That's what that means. If we fail, if we fall, if we make a mistake, we have an advocate, God the Father, Abba, that we can go to and ask for his forgiveness. We can ask him to right the ship that went wrong. We can ask us to put our feet back on the right path. We can ask him to forgive us of all our shortcomings, and he will. He will, if we would just reach out to him by faith. Sincerely pray. If we go to Psalm 66:19-20, it says this, "But verily God hath heard me. He hath attended unto the voice of my prayer." Did you see that? Attended. That means he took careful notice. He cupped it in his hands like a sweet-smelling savor, and he breathed it in. That's what it means to be attended to. He received it. He regarded it, and he heard it. Each and every one of those prayers that are prayed in faith righteously before God. Not that we could consume it upon our lusts, no. But we pray in righteousness. And in verse 20 it says, "Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." Amen. There's an illustration I want to bring to your attention too, about George Mueller, how that once on a way to Quebec on a ship years ago, he was on his way to a seminar I'm not quite sure what it was all about, but a seminar. And as he was on the ship, they came to a place where the captain felt they couldn't go any further because the fog was so dense they couldn't even see in front of them. And he went down and talked to George Mueller, who said, "My eyes aren't on the density of the fog, but my eyes are on the God of all circumstances in this life who can change things." And so he said to this captain, "Let's go down to the chart room and pray." And so they went down to the chart room and they prayed before God Almighty. And when they prayed, George Mueller began just to say a simple prayer, short prayer, by faith. And he finished. And the captain decided he wanted to go and pray too, but George Mueller put his hand on his shoulder and he says, "No, don't pray because I know that you don't believe. Don't waste your time praying before God if you don't believe." And he said, "Now, I just prayed. Go up to the top of the ship now, and you will find that the fog has cleared." And so he went up to the top of the ship, and the fog indeed was completely gone. And he made his appointment. He'd never missed an appointment in 57 years. And he made his appointment on time. Amen. That's the kind of prayer of faith that availeth much, a prevailing prayer. Short though it was, but you see, this was a man that gave his life over to prayer. So it is in our own lives if we do the same. All we would need to do is say a simple, quick prayer, and God will change things around because he knows that it comes from a heart that is righteous. It comes from a heart that seeks God daily. It's not a 10-minute thing. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Praise God. Psalms 145, 18 and 19. Just go to Psalms 145 if you would. And it says in 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them." You see, there is that place in your life, in my life, where we all need to get to, where nothing else matters but crying out to God. Where all the cares of the world will just slip away. All that matters in your heart and in my heart is that we reach out to God in spite of not feeling well, in spite of the circumstances around us, in spite of the not feeling close to God, not even feeling a desire to read his word. These are because we live in a world that is so against God. It is Antichrist everywhere. The spirit of prayer is not within us oftentimes because we don't live. It's not a way of life to us. If it's 10 minutes a day or a half hour at best for most, we think we're doing something. We think we're really in the depths of prayer. But that's not so. Because if it were, our lives would be completely turned around. Our lives would be different. All those who are online, all those who are here, all those who will eventually hear this message, I would urge you to consider this, truly to ask God to show you what it means to get into the depths of prayer. John, 1 John chapter 3, 22. 1 John 3:22 says here, And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You remember that prayer in Deuteronomy, or that how the Lord would want us to do all that is right and good and pleasing in his sight. That's what we ought to pray for. I remember talking to Pastor over the phone, and I've said this before, how that one day I was in such a great need of I was in such despair. I was so busy with my job. I worked with a company called True Tech Pest and Animal Control out in Georgia. And I covered the largest territory in our company. I was considered one of the top salesmen and workers there. I dedicated all of my efforts to what I was doing. And I was steadfast and faithful. And I even made all my customers split banana bread, because I cared for them, and I treated them with white gloves. And that's how I was just taught to do things. So either way, one day, however, as I was, you know, I was doing some construction work on a home. I was sealing off some holes and things where squirrels and things were getting into the home. And I had to just get off that ladder and run to the truck, grab my cell phone, and call Pastor. Thank God he was there. He answered the phone, and we got to talking. We praying over the phone for about a half hour, 45 minutes. And I poured out my heart to Pastor. And I says, Pastor, what's the one thing I need to hang on to today? And he said, Tim, the first thing you should do every morning is ask God, get into the depths of prayer, and ask God to help you to do all that is right and good and pleasing in his sight. And I never forgot that. And that stuck with me ever since then. I've been doing that. The Lord has helped me. And then if you go to Romans chapter 8, 25 through 28. Chapter 8, 25 through 28. It says here, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, I'm going to stop right there a moment and explain to you that when you pray, that's praying in the Holy Ghost. You're praying with moanings and groanings and utterings that come from the depths of your soul, that there's no possible manner or way that you can express what you're feeling. There comes a point and a place in your life where you just can't even express how you feel. It's so deep. And all you can do is get into the depths of prayer and utter those moanings and groanings that the Holy Ghost helps you with. The Holy Ghost will be praying through you the perfect will of God in the Spirit. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints. Did you see that? According to the will of God, which is another condition, by the way. Are we praying according to the will of God? And we know all that we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Amen. Because it's the Holy Ghost who stirs us up to prevailing prayer. Without the Holy Ghost's help, we could never be quickened. We would never have that desire to pray, ever. But it's the Holy Ghost who does speak to us and quicken us It's the Holy Ghost who truly enables us to do those things that we could never do on our own. I remember how that Martin Luther had a friend, Frederick Meconius, I think that's how you spell it. And that how that his friend who was on his deathbed, he'd gotten to the point where he couldn't even speak anymore. And he was on his deathbed on his way out of this world. And I remember reading the story about Martin Luther, how that he wrote him a letter. He was a ways away, but he wrote this prayer in a letter. And he says, it is not convenient for you to leave now. And I need you for the work of the reforming of the church. And so it is my prayer and my will, because I seek to serve God and glorify his name, that you not die until after I die. And he said that it is my will, because I seek God, that you live and you survive me. And so another 6 years was given to the life of this Frederick Meconius, who then, 6 years later, died, but he died 2 months after Martin Luther died. You see the power of prayer, prevailing prayer. God hears, God listens. God observes our hearts, and he sees these kinds of things when they're prayed in faith with a great will, desire, passion, bringing forth. He sees that. And he won't forget that. Amen. If we go to Psalms chapter 61, 1 and 2. Psalms 61, verse 1 and 2. You see, I'll wait for you to get there. To be little with God in prayer is to be little in God in his service. Amen. Much prayer means much favor and power with God. Little prayer means little power. But in Psalms chapter 61, let's read that. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. Oh, praise God. Here it says again, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to a rock that is higher than I. David knew how to encourage himself, didn't he? This was put in there for our example, to pray that the power of the Holy Ghost would come and pray through us in those moments and times when we cannot ever express how we feel or how we think about a certain matter. And sometimes all we can do is fall on our knees, and I'm talking both knees, and get into the depths of prayer, not on one knee, on both knees. Go to Luke chapter 24, verse 49. And it says in Luke 24, 49, and behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be imbued with the power from on high. What did we just talk about? We just talked about being having the power of the Holy Ghost come upon us to help us, to quicken us, to lead us. And sometimes that we ought to do the same, to wait, but to seek after God while we wait in, with great patience, that the Lord would fill us with his Spirit, that we would be inspired by God to speak, to pray, to do all those things that are right and good and pleasing in his sight. If you go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it says there, But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Reminds me of a story of Watchman Nee and how that he was in a long journey from where he lived to an island of about 6,000 people. He had with him about seven people, including a 16-year-old brand new convert, and how that they went to this island, and how that they had they celebrated idolatry all the time, and they were celebrating this idol called Tawang, I believe it was called, if I remember correctly. And because Tawang was a god who gave them perfect weather all the time. So they decided that they were going to worship this idol and follow after this idol. And how that Watchman Nee and his friends, how they went to this island, and how he had contacted an old friend of his, and upon learning that they came there to preach, his friend denied him a lodging. And so he went to an herbalist, which became his first convert. Then they had gone out and they began to preach, and they weren't getting anywhere until one day they learned that the god Tawang was the idol that they had worshipped, because they gave them perfect days all the time, especially on the day of celebration. It was always perfect. And then this 16-year-old new convert that was with Watchman Nee, he told this one of the leaders, he says, "I promise you that on the 11th it will rain." And they laughed him to scorn, and they said, "Get out of here, we don't need your God." And on the 11th, the day of the festival, they woke up and it was perfectly beautiful outside, and then they began to say grace at breakfast, and how that it began to sprinkle. And all of a sudden, torrential rains came down on that day. So they said that we made a mistake, and we said that, you know, the 14th should have been the real day of the festival. So they decided to go ahead and move it to the 14th of the month. And so during that time, of course, Watchman Nee and his six other Christians that were with him began to pray for converts, and during that time, 30 more were converted to the Lord. And then the day of the 14th arrived, and it was another beautiful day, and this festival wasn't until the evening. And so at the appointed time and hour that the festival was to begin, they began to pray and cry out to the Lord, "Oh God, this is the day of the hour of the festival to begin." And they prayed against it. And how that they began to pray, and how it began to rain right then, right on time, right at that hour. The rains began to come down. Their God that they carried around fell to the ground and broke in pieces. And they knew that their God was defeated, that there's only one true God, and that was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who answered their prayers. And from that moment on, there were new converts constantly coming to the Lord for years to come. And that was a wonderful testimony of Watchman Nee years ago. If you go to see what we're talking about is to never give up. Don't ever give up. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5 and 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5 and 11. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake." Bear with me. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing up about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. See, this, we're not getting off track by reading this. This is there. I want to encourage you to never give up. That includes in the depths of prayer. And to further cement that, I wrote down some stuff here that I found of John Wesley, and how that he had the tenacity to continue on in spite of all the stuff that came against him. And he was in the depths of prayer every day. And then this is what he endured. And I just kind of wrote this down. He wrote this in his diary, and I'm going to read it here. It says, of refusal and denial during his early years in the ministry, he logged a few encounters in his diary. It says, Sunday, May 5th, preached at St. Anne's, asked not to come back. Sunday, May 5th in the p.m., preached at St. John's, deacon said, get out and stay out. Sunday, May 12th, in the a.m., preached at St. Jude's, can't go back there either anymore. Sunday, May 19th in the p.m., preached at somebody else's church. Deacons called special meeting and said I could not ever return. Sunday, May 26th, preached on the street, was kicked off the street. Sunday, June 2nd, a.m., preached at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday, June 2nd in the p.m., preached in a pasture. 10,000 people came. You see, many conversions, many changed lives, all because John Wesley decided to pray about what to do. And the Lord led him to these places to experience what it means to be rejected and put out and put down and scourged and all these things. But Jesus uses that to get us into the depths of prayer even further. Amen. If we go to Ephesians 3:13, 3:13 through 21, it says, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Kind of reminds me of another story of a guy, young kid, who says, Mama, John so-and-so is under heavy conviction, and he's praying, but he's only on one knee, and he won't get his answers to prayer tonight, Mama, because he's only on one knee. And so then he says, and she said, well, how was that? And he says, well, Mama, until he gets on both knees, then his prayers will be answered, because then he'll mean business with God. That was kind of neat. In verse 15 in Ephesians, it says, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to his riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit of the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And Paul said, for this cause, I bow my knees, in verse 14. And then I'm thinking of another illustration, how that God's best gifts, like valuable jewels, are under lock and key. And it's not until the prayers of a fervent prayer warrior gets down in the depths of prayer and finds those keys. Amen. And that's for every one of us. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. That's God's way. He wants us to get down into the depths and find that key for our own good, for our own edification, for our own help, comfort. If we go to 1 Kings in closing, 1 Kings chapter 19, here we go. Yeah. Yeah, here we go. 1 Kings chapter 19, 12. But let me go back up to 11. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, but after the earthquake a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire a still, small voice. How many times in your life have you gone through hurricanes and earthquakes and heavy winds and fires and chaos in your life, when things never just didn't seem to go right? And you had cause to worry and fear, and you had cause to think of anything and everything but God. And all you could do was keep your eyes on the problem instead of God. But you see, the Lord's trying to tell us that's not where the answer is. The answer is not in the chaos around us. The answer is not in worry and in fear. The answer is not in those things, but it's in the still small voice in the depth of prayer when we get before God Almighty. And he will lead us and guide us and help us. He'll be true to us. He'll be faithful to us. Are we faithful to him? Amen. Why don't we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank thee, O God in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence, for your power, for your strength. Thank you, Father God, for your Spirit. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you, O God, for the shed blood on the cross, that you died for us, that we could be redeemed and counted worthy to follow after thee. Thank you, O God in heaven, for all that you have done for us, all that is right, true, good, and well, O God. And we thank you for your promises, O Lord Jesus, and for all that you have planned for us, O Lord, in the future. Even now, even today, O God, if we would just get in the depths of prayer and seek after your face, O God, and knowing that you are well able to lead us and guide us and to help us, O Lord, and we just get into the depths of prayer and meet you there. Meet you there, O God, where we can hear from you in Jesus' name. Where we can avoid and just not listen to all the storms of life. But Lord, if we just get into the depths of prayer, where you will meet us there, O God, in that still small voice. And you will begin to show us. That will unlock the key, unlock with the key, the treasures that come from you. In Jesus' name, amen.